The fifth door, mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Scripture focus, Matthew 5:7. Exposition. In Matthew's ordering the Beatitudes, mercy occupies a pivotal place. Curtis Mitch and Edward Shree observe that this beatitude follows immediately upon the hunger and thirst for righteousness, indicating a movement from interior desire to concrete action. Righteousness, once desired, must now be expressed. Mercy is that expression. Drawing on the Old Testament background, Mitch and Shree note that mercy in Scripture always involves identification with the needy and active generosity towards them. It is not sentiment, but covenantal fidelity expressed through deeds. Matthew's gospel consistently presents mercy as a defining mark of true discipleship, a theme that reappears when Jesus teaches that God's mercy towards us is conditioned by the mercy we show to others. Thus, this beatitude announces not only a blessing, but a way of life that mirrors God's own merciful action toward Israel and toward sinners. The Catechism situates mercy at the heart of the moral life of the Christian. Works of mercy are concrete expressions of charity and participation in God's mercy toward the poor, the suffering, and the sinner. Paragraph 2447. Mercy is also inseparable from forgiveness. Since refusing mercy closes the heart to receiving it from God, paragraph 2840, the church receives Matthew 5:7 as both promise and warning. Mercy keeps the believer within the living flow of grace. Jacques Philippe emphasizes that the interior life deteriorates when mercy is replaced by harsh judgment, especially self-judgment. Mercy restores freedom because it allows the soul to rest in God's action rather than its own efforts. Practiced regularly, mercy becomes a path to interior peace and joy, freeing the heart from rigidity and fear. Mercy is not an advanced virtue reserved for the spiritually mature. It is the necessary doorway through which righteousness becomes visible. If you wish to live the Beatitudes, mercy cannot remain theoretical. Choose one deliberate act of mercy today. Make it concrete and hidden. Offer forgiveness, patience, or generosity without explanation or recognition.
Yeah, I thought that was beautiful what you just said, that mercy makes justice visible. Righteousness visible. Sorry. Mercy makes righteousness visible, right? So
right.
That's because if you wonder, you know, hunger and thirst for righteousness, right? And you'll be satisfied. And you think, well, what is righteousness? And then you lead right into it with an understanding that righteousness is probably what is owed to yourself and to others before God, right? What is right to God and what is right to man? And I've said this before on the show that I always think that God must have really loved his mother because the corporal and spiritual works of mercy are really the job title of a mother, right? Mm-hmm. So this particular virtue, I think, if there is such a thing as a feminine virtue, right? If justice is a masculine virtue, mercy is going to be that feminine virtue. But it's not an empty virtue, right? When you feed the hunger, you see what hunger looks like. When you clothe the naked, you can't help but be moved by the visibility of nakedness in the world, right? And each of those things is instructive of the spiritual life. You know, what does true hunger look like? Well, if it looks like that in the natural world, how much more profound is hunger in the spiritual life? If nakedness looks like that in the natural world, how much more naked will I be before God, right? And those works of mercy are, they're the antidote, right? They show mercy, but they bring justice. Right. So the natural outcrop of them is that the person who is in front of you, who has a right to justice, will be satisfied with the act of mercy. Right. That will meet. It's a beautiful thing because it's not just an either or proposition with mercy. Mercy is first indicative that justice has something that righteousness that needs to be achieved, but that it can be achieved in a way that is self-reflective. When I give you mercy, he says very clearly that if I am merciful, mercy will be shown to me. And that's really, there's a lot of that particular beatitude, I think, is the one that makes the most sense, right? There's a fulcrum there that you can rest on. The hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Well, if you don't know what righteousness is, then that can be kind of counterproductive, right? But your comment there really shows how mercy brings that righteousness into a concrete form for us. You know that if you go and you bring drink to the thirsty, that is the manifestation of righteousness, right?
That's right.
That's a really, that's a good one.
It's a good one. Mercy clears the heart, but it also exposes its deepest orientation. The next door asks what the heart truly seeks. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Till the next time, my friends, fides adragio.